This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. Breaking news. What is it that we're hearing from Jerusalem?
Boker Tov. So I do have my television on in the background, and I'm trying to just keep updated with the current breaking news. So the reports from Jerusalem this morning say that there has been an explosion at a bus stop, apparently quite near to the central bus station at the entrance of Jerusalem. Current reports are saying that at least 7 people have been injured, 2 of whom are quite seriously injured, one very, very seriously injured, another also quite seriously injured. That is the story from the entrance of Jerusalem, but more recent than that, and just breaking over the last literally few minutes, is that the residents of the Ramot area of Jerusalem have reported hearing an explosion. I'm actually watching scenes at the moment from Tzomet Ramot, which is right on the edge of the Ramot neighborhood. There is certainly something which has happened there. The security forces have cordoned off an area that looks like around a bus stop, and there's certainly some incident that has happened also at the area of Tzomet Ramot.
Oh, so this is two different. Is this two different incidents?
Two different incidents going on at the moment in the Jerusalem area. One at the entrance to Jerusalem, near to the central bus station. That was a little while ago. The most recent one at Tzomet Ramot. What I see is a bus that is parked at a bus stop. I see glass strewn all over the road. It seems as if though the windows of that bus have somehow been blown out or broken, with the glass lying all over the road. So two separate incidents going on in Jerusalem as we speak and as we continue. If there's anything more, I will update you as we go along. And of course, today is Sigd, which is the Ethiopian holiday celebrated, 50 days after Yom Kippur. During the period between Yom Kippur and Sigd, the Ethiopian community go through what they call some sort of communal introspection, whereas Yom Kippur is considered to be personal introspection. The period, the 50 days until Sigd, is a communal introspection in order to make the community worthy of returning to Zion. Of course, that community have returned to Zion, and it is traditional on Sigd, which is today, for the Ethiopian community to come together in Jerusalem. Most of their events are held in the area of Amon Hanatziv, and we are expecting a huge gathering today in Jerusalem to mark the festival of Sigd, 29th of Cheshuvan, 50 days after Yom Kippur, which of course is no coincidence, because Shavuot is also 50 days after Pesach, and so there is a certain mirror image. So it's not clear exactly how those celebrations will be affected by these events that we're seeing in front of us this morning, but clearly two serious incidents are currently taking place as we speak in Jerusalem.
Although we've had and we've seen a serious number of knife attacks, car rammings, this type of incident, we haven't seen any explosions or explosives used in a terror attack, assuming that this is what this is, and we don't know with absolute certainty anything at this stage. But
that's true. It seems as if there are explosive devices involved. When I look at the scenes at the Tzomet Ramot, it seems as if there's probably an explosion. I see the glass all over the road. I also see ambulances now being called in. So it seems as if there are people who are injured. We know that there was some sort of an explosion at the entrance to Jerusalem, and people were injured there, some of them quite seriously injured. So clearly there have been explosive devices used. And the way that I would characterize this, Howard, is to say that I don't think that we the fact that we haven't seen explosive devices means there haven't been attempts to use explosive devices.
Oh, I have no
devices.
Doubt. Absolutely.
I think that there have been numerous attempts, and there are continuing attempts to carry out all manner of terror attacks, not only in Jerusalem, but elsewhere in Israel as well. And I think the fact that we haven't seen explosions of this sort for such a long time is just credit to our security forces, to the intelligence, to the IDF soldiers, to the border police who are on duty at those crossings and who examine people to make sure that events like this can be prevented to whatever extent is possible. And I have little doubt that in addition to taking care of the immediate scene of the event, there will be a lot of intelligence and a lot of questioning about how these individuals were allowed to get to these locations and allow these explosions to take place in Jerusalem.
Absolutely, and our thoughts, our prayers are with anybody who is injured. Please God, they will be okay. Anthony will keep updating us as he gets more information. This other story that I wanted to ask you about is absolutely, I mean, not that this wasn't appalling, but the story of the body of a young Israeli who was killed in a car accident in Jenin and whose body has now been kidnapped by Palestinian gunmen. What is known about this incident? And is there no depth that these terrorists won't go to? Stealing a body of a young guy who died in a car accident.
So what we know is that there were two passengers in a vehicle that was involved in a car accident near Jerusalem. One of the passengers we know was an 18-year-old Druze Israeli. The other one, we don't know how old or who he was or she was. There was certainly another passenger involved. But we don't know exactly what the circumstances were that they were traveling in the area of Jenin, because one of the things that is clear is that for Israelis to be allowed to travel within the Palestinian Authority area takes a certain permission process. You can't simply just cross over and go and tour around the Palestinian Authority area without advising the authorities and without getting permission so that they know that you're there. And obviously they can give you permission to ensure that there is a relative safety, that there's nothing that they know that could potentially contribute to a dangerous situation. So I have no idea whether this vehicle was traveling with or without permission. What we do know is that at least one of the passengers was this 18-year-old Druze Israeli who was actually killed in the car accident that took place near Jenin. And then his body was abducted by a group of Palestinian gunmen. Interestingly, the person who is conducting the negotiations for the release of this body is the mayor of Jenin. So another citizen of the Palestinian Authority is apparently conducting negotiations with these Palestinian gunmen to allow the body to be released. We understand that the other passenger in the car was also quite badly injured and was initially also abducted, but now that individual has been transferred to treatment at an Israeli hospital. And so at least that situation, the person who was at least alive from the accident is now currently being treated in Israel. But the body of the person who was killed, and we've even been told that the name of this individual is Tiran Ferro, a Druze Israeli whose body has been kidnapped. So it's not exactly clear who was responsible for the kidnapping and why, but I think it does send a very, very strong message about the so-called two-state solution that the international community are calling for. And the question as to whether we can truly coexist with a neighbor like the Palestinian Authority, where this kind of activity goes on. Now, whether it is sanctioned by the authorities or whether it is not sanctioned by the authorities is really not that significant to the story, because the fact is that if it is sanctioned by the authorities, then we have a major problem with coexisting with authorities who allow this sort of behavior. And if it's not sanctioned by the authorities, then clearly the authorities don't have control over what goes on within the area. And so therefore there are times when our army and our security services need to be called in, and we cannot be called in to operate in a sovereign country that exists along our borders. So to the extent that we can't rely upon them to implement the necessary security that our citizens need to stay safe as neighbors along the border, we clearly have a substantial problem. And I don't know that the international community really understands that very well.
Or chooses to understand that, maybe more accurate, Anthony, because the signs are all there. You've just got to see them. You know, you've just got to have a look at an incident where a terror organization can proudly take a body of a young man, a Druze, not even a Jewish guy, a Druze, a hostage, if that's the right word, just for the sake of doing harm to family and to people. It's evil in the extreme, really.
I mean, it's not clear what political advantage might be gained from an action like this. I have no idea what these gunmen might think they would extract from this negotiation that's now being conducted by the mayor of Jenin, of course, alongside the Israeli security services as well. I have no idea what they think might happen, and what they might be able to extract, what value they might be able to get from these negotiations and from this action. But as you say, first of all, it's very, very evil to the family who wish to take control of that body and who wish to bury that individual who's been killed in a car accident very tragically. And it also just sends a very, very strong message about lack of control, the lack of respect, and the lawless situation that exists along that border. And it does make citizens of Israel who very much want to enter into this two-state solution program, to live in peace, to have the borders, because we see, on the other hand, we see Palestinians coming to Israel to work. We welcome them. They come to our shopping malls. They come to move around. I know that the crossing into Israel is not always that easy. A lot has been said about the difficulties that people experience in order to get into Israel. And there is no doubt that it is not an easy exercise. Sometimes long queues and having to wait in the sun for hours to get through security checkpoints. But when we see incidents like this, and when we see things that are going on in Jerusalem right now, we understand why that security checkpoint is required. Because imagine what our lives would be like without those security checkpoints. If this is what we see with the security checkpoints in place, imagine what it would be without those security checkpoints. I would personally be absolutely delighted for the security checkpoints to be taken away, so long as we know that they're being taken away because the threat no longer exists. But of course, while this threat exists and while we see incidents like this going on, there is unfortunately little choice. The update from Jerusalem that I'm just seeing, to jump back into the breaking news, two people in hospital critically injured, two people in hospital very seriously injured. That is from the incident at the entrance of Jerusalem near to the central bus station. The incident at the Tzomet Ramot involves, it seems, a bus that was parked at a bus stop. I see lots and lots of shrapnel on the front glass of the bus, on the windscreen of the bus. I see glass strewn around the area. I see that ambulances have now evacuated people, and the emergency seems to have at least dissipated for now. There doesn't seem to be any frantic working going on at that bus at Tzomet Ramot. The ambulances have clearly left to go off to the hospital. The bus itself quite badly damaged in terms of shrapnel on the windscreen and glass lying on the road, but nothing more than that right now. The rest of the scene seems to be relatively under control and quite relaxed, even though the area is closed off and lots of traffic.
I would imagine that other bus stops in Jerusalem in particular are going to be scoured just to make sure that they are safe, given the fact that we've had two explosions at two bus stops.
I have little doubt. This one at Tzomet Ramot seems to have taken place rather than at the bus stop itself. It seems to have taken place in the bus or around the bus.
Right.
It seems to me that a lot of the damage of the bus, from at least what I can see from the pictures, seems to have happened rather inside the bus rather than outside the bus. At least that's my impression for now. Mm. But the good news, I mean, we know that anything that happens inside the bus can be very, very serious.
Right. Well, in fact, I've just got a follow-up update from the IDF communication, which says, follow-up reports are saying that the explosion in Ramot was police sappers destroying a bomb at a bus stop there. But obviously that could have been significantly worse if that is the case.
That may well be so. I mean, they might have detonated that while the bus was there. Maybe the bus was just a sideshow. Certainly a bus has been sustained some damage, and I did see an ambulance taking somebody away.
Right, they just said people are injured. People were injured there, so it must have been quite a lot of potential there. We don't have a lot of time, but I just want to ask you about Israel approved a Qatari company drilling for gas in the Lebanese gas field. This is interesting.
So this is really part of the agreement that was reached with Lebanon quite recently on that disputed border. And of course, the gas field, the Kana Sidon Reservoir, which traverses that border that has been agreed upon. And for those people who were following the story at the time, you might recall that Israel agreed and signed an agreement with Lebanon only last month, which allows Lebanon to extract gas from that gas field, in return for which the border, that northern border, has effectively been agreed upon, has been determined between the two countries, with U.S. involvement, clearly with the U.S. government policing and negotiating between the two parties. But as part of the agreement, Israel was given the right to veto any company's involvement in extracting gas from that gas field. And the reason that Israel was given the power of veto is because Israel has certain economic rights. Some of the income from the extraction of gas from that field, which is within Israeli territory, will be passed to Israel. So the actual work will be done by Lebanon. The control will be Lebanese. Israel will have a power of veto over which companies are actually involved in drilling the gas. And of course, Israel will be entitled to certain income. Interestingly, the Qatari Energy Consortium is the company that has been chosen to extract gas from that gas field. Israel has given its approval under the agreement for that Qatari company to go ahead. So hopefully everybody will benefit.
Indeed. It is 8:00. Anthony Reich, thank you. As always, we'll catch you tomorrow morning at 7:45.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.